Too many of us say yes and don't mean yes. It's yes with conditions. That's why every Sunday in the bulletin we ask, how serious are you about your relationship with Jesus Christ? Some of us have got a lot of holes on our walls because our yes don't mean yes. It means yes conditionally. Yes, if I don't have to be challenged. Yes, if I don't have to make a sacrifice. Yes, if everything falls between 9 and 5. Yes, if I can have my weekends to myself. Yes. That's not a real yes. That is a conditional yes. And when we say yes to the Lord, we ought to mean yes. No matter what happens. I'm not a competitor, but I tell you one thing. I'm tired of the world having more determination than those of us in the body of Christ. We got the power, we got the Holy Spirit, and the world is more determined to do the empty things that they do than we are in the body of Christ. And that's a challenge for us. And we're going to focus in on that part of Hebrews 12 and 2 that says, who for the joy that was set before him. Today we want to talk about when your joy is beyond your cross. When your joy is beyond your cross. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for being in this place. We thank you for your presence. It is my prayer, O God, that none of us would do anything to make you leave. But God, as you fellowship with us, as you linger with us, God, that you would make your word come alive in us, that we might leave here more determined to be the Christians that you're calling us to be. And that if there's anybody here lost, they will be found. Anybody here confused will make a decision, and everything will be straightened out. Not because of me, not because of us, but all because of you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. When your joy is beyond your cross. And I tell you, it was a message, I think, Minister Mitchell was preaching here, and he started talking about Jesus had to look behind the cross to see his joy. And I've been trying to shake that thing for about a month, and it just kept on hanging in there. When your joy is beyond your cross, and whenever we take on a challenge or an assignment, there's usually much joy and satisfaction in completing it. Usually it's a person's intention to complete what they started, but I realize that in life, intentions don't get it. Intention doesn't really finish the race. What do you mean? The Eagles intended to win. Because you weren't here earlier when I messed with them. I intended to embrace you. I intended to pay you your money back. I intended to marry you. All this intention just does not get it. But what it takes commitment, dedication, and perseverance to complete something because of the many challenges that are involved. In other words, you got to know what you signed up for. When you come to Christ, when you say yes to Christ, know what you signed up for. And know that when you see people smiling and they're joyous and everything, it's not because they don't have any troubles in their life. It's because they got Jesus in their life. Amen. And because of Christ, they can deal with some stuff. And they can take a licking and keep on ticking. And that's what we need to understand. But this is what you signed up for. When you go into ministry, this is what you signed up for. Amen. When God called us to pastor, if you get a bad day, this is what you signed up for. Every day not going to be a real good day. But we got a habit of focusing on the bad and not the good. If we tell our story, everything was bad. No, we not tell the truth. Everything was not bad. There's been some good days. I've had some good days. I had some bad days. Amen. I had some hills to climb. Amen. I had some rough road, but I had a smooth road too. But when you say yes, people ought to be able, we used to be able to take people at their word. Now I got to get stuff in writing. Because folk don't, you can't take folk at their word no more. We used to do a handshake, look a brother in the eye, say, look, man, this is it. Okay, my brother. But now, they don't even look in your eye. They look to the side. Folk don't look in the eye no more. They don't want to make eye contact. Because they don't really want to tell you what, you know, they don't really tell you the truth. And a half-truth is a lie. And a half lie is a half-truth. Where's the truth? But this is what we signed up for. Sometimes the challenges or opposition can get so intense that if you're not committed, you will give up or give in before you reach your goal and find yourself sitting around wondering, what if? In the body of Christ, there are a lot of spiritual dropouts because they didn't really realize what they signed up for. We try to do stuff in our own strength and not in the strength of God. The Holy Spirit is available to us, but we try to do stuff in our own strength because we like the glory. We like to get the attention. We like to be the one. And that messes us up when we say yes to the Lord, because when we say yes to him, we're actually saying to him, God, your will and your way. No matter what. Now, we had to mean that. It sounds good in front of the congregation. It sounds good when you're at the altar. But when you go back to your seat, when you go back home and get all by yourself, did you really mean what you said? This is why we should count the cost before picking up the cross. This is why we should seek God first before we say yes. God is the one that will keep us and sustain us in the process if we pursue our goal according to his will. When stuff starts messing up, it's not always that it's not God's plan for your life. Ask Job. Job hadn't done the same, but worship the Lord. And all of a sudden, all you know what broke loose in his life. To the point where Mrs. Job said, look, what is it all about? Why don't you just curse God and die? But Job said, no, I understand one thing. Naked, I came out and naked. Job said, all my appointed time, I'm going to wait till my change comes. And nothing in the book of Job tells us specifically where he got that from, but it must have been a relationship thing. It must have been some experience he had with God. He was a praying man. God must have let him know that if I take this, I give you that. See, we don't like that. I'm not saying we ought to be running around, give me all the trials and tribulations, Lord, but I'm saying when they come, it doesn't necessarily mean that you did anything wrong. It could be part of the process that you're going through, because the joy that you're seeking is behind the cross. The joy of completing something for God is behind the cross. You got to get to the cross to get to your joy. And God said, I'm not changing it. You told me yes, and I have the right to take your yes and put you through the process. You must trust God and lean not to your own understanding, no matter what it looks like or what it feels like. Many times your goal or your joy of completion is beyond your cross. The cross represents everything you have to go through to get to where you're trying to get to. God already showed you, and God put you on the journey, and you're trying to get to that joy. You're trying to complete this thing, but you got to come to everything. You got to deal with everything that God puts in your way that you might get to completion, that you might get to the joy. You got some highs and you got some lows. You got some valleys and you got some mountaintops. You got some tears and you got some smiles, but you said yes. What did you sign up for? And is it worth it? Somebody said recently, I think that the suffering of this present time cannot be compared to the future. You got to count the cost. That's what it said. Deny thyself and take up the cross and follow me. See, when your joy is beyond the cross and beyond your cross, when you told God yes, that means, God, I'm going on. I like the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul could say, I fought a good fight. I might not look like what I looked like when I started, but I won. God looking for some folks to say, look at this. I may not look like I looked when I started, because when I started, I hadn't been through anything. When I started, I hadn't been through nothing. But now that I come through by the grace of God, I won. God, he's tired of us dropping out. Because he won't put your joy before the cross. All you want to do is cry. All you want to do is complain. But you don't want to do nothing. You don't want to be involved in that. You don't go through nothing. You don't even consider the fact that what Jesus went through for you. The crosses that we bear will never be
to the level of the cross that Jesus bore for you and for me, but we still complain. We need to read our Bibles more, because the Bible doesn't promise us that everything's going to be easy. He said it'll be possible. With men, things are impossible. With God, everything is possible. So you got to learn how to. And we all, almost everybody in here, if you're not from the South Philly, you're from North Philly, I know you know how to go through something. Come on. Them nicks and bruises on you didn't just come from a life of ease. No, you've been through some stuff. Hallelujah. You've been through some stuff. I don't know what it is that when we accept Christ, when we become sanctified, when we become anointed, we get real soft. We can't take nothing. We can't go through nothing. Can't nobody say nothing to us. What I like is when people talk about they block me. Ain't nobody block you. Whatever God has for you is for you. And can't nobody block it. They won't let me do that. They won't let me do. Shut up. And get back on the journey. And do what God has intended for you to do. All this complaint. Sometimes while you're complaining, you're missing the message. You're missing what God has for you. Many times I thought I was ready for something. God said, boy, you ain't ready. You thought you was ready. In your mind you were ready, but your heart wasn't ready. You weren't ready for what I had for you. In your little finite mind. Oh, my God. Many times your goal for completing this thing is beyond your cross. You can see the completion by faith, but you can't bypass any of the steps. We get frustrated on the journey. Why not me, Lord? Especially when somebody else gets blessed around you. Or it looks like they're blessed. You'd be like, where am I? I'm mad at you, God. God said, I don't care how mad you get. Who told you to look at her blueprint? That's her journey. That's his journey. Who told you to compare your blueprint? Who told you to compare your journey with his or hers? I didn't tell you that. I might have given you a vision for something, but I ain't put no time on it. Just be patient. Slow down sometimes. You must continue on the journey to reach your joy. For this message, your cross represents everything you need to go through to get to your joy. And I love Isaiah 26:3. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Acts 8:8 says there was much joy in the city. And Psalm 16:11, I say, Lord have mercy. And God said, I ain't tell you to preach on that. So I'm just gonna read it to you. You gotta be obedient when the Lord don't mess around. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There's something about this joy. For the joy that was set before him. He went on through this thing. Hadn't done anything wrong. Now I'm guilty. But by the blood of Jesus, I'm not guilty. But Jesus was not guilty of anything. And he went through all that for the joy. So I said, what kind of joy was set before him? It was rejoicing and the joy of completing what his father gave him to do. It was the joy of letting the devil know you thought you had me. See, we got that kind of joy. When you're on the journey, you got to look, you got to do something better than that. But the joy that was set before him, it was set before him. He went through everything he went, had to go through to get to the point of completion, to get the joy. The word joy in Greek is C-H-A-R-A. That's where we get the word charismatic and charisma from. It means joy, rejoicing, and happiness. As we look at Hebrews 12:1-2, let us consider what Jesus went through to get to the joy that was set before him. What can we learn from what Jesus went through? When our joy is beyond our cross, number one, you need to focus. Number one, we need to focus. Focus. Number two, we need to endure some things. You need to get some tough skin. Number one, focus. Number two, endure some things. And number three, ignore some things. Number one, focus. Number two, endure some things.
And number three, ignore some things. Amen. If you signed up for the journey, you running with me? Come on, let's go. We on the journey together. The thing about it, you may get to yours before I get to mine, but I still have my journey to run. You can't run. You can encourage me. You can pray with me, but you can't run my journey for me. We need to understand in church, can nobody run your journey for you? You signed up for it, you got to show up. I don't care how many times you delegated, God's still looking for you. He want to hear your footsteps on the journey. Number one, focus. You have to get focused and keep focused. And what he says in Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, I got a cloud of witnesses from Hebrews 11 that should encourage you. In other words, I got some folk that have gone on before. I got some folk that you can make reference to. You're not the first one going through something. And you're not the only one in the church going through something. I'm sorry I had to explain that to you. There's a lot of folk going through stuff. And people deal with stuff in different ways. You're not the only one going through. You're not the only one been going through all your life. You're not the only one with challenges. You're not the only one with a sickness. You're not the only one with a pain. You're not the only one looking for a job. You're not the only one that need more money. You're not the only one that need to be understood. You're not the only one. But because you're not doesn't mean that you get off the journey. So you got to keep focused. God, what is it that you're showing me? What is it that you're trying to get me to see? So number one, when you focus, God says, I want you to be encouraged by the crowd of witnesses in Hebrews 11. But then he says, I want you to be more focused because I want you to focus your eyes on Jesus. He said, and as you focus, I want you to do something first. I want you to lay aside every weight. And I always looked at that as every weight and sin, that other stuff around. He said, no, it's some stuff in you, boy. It's some stuff in you you need to let go of. It's some stuff in you that stops you from running the journey the way I want you to run it. So don't just do an external inventory. Do an internal inventory. Because some of us, we are our own worst enemies. You ever talk yourself out of a blessing? Your mom ever say, boy, you run your mouth too, but you don't put your foot all the way, all the way. Matter of fact, you put your foot so far in your mouth, your face is like a shoe. Lay aside, when we focus, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before. He said, when you get your focus, I want you to lay aside some stuff because it's going to distract you. Sometimes you got to change your friends. Oh, my. You can't change your wife and your husband. Now, cut it out. I said change your friends. You got to change. People like to use messages from pastors for excuses, you know. Go see that lawyer. The Lord told me to my past. No, he ain't tell you that. Get focused and keep focused and get encouraged by the crowd of witnesses with your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He said, keep your eyes on Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I can do it because we got the same Holy Spirit. Our cross is different, but we got the same Holy Spirit. So number one, you got to keep focused because your joy is beyond your cross. So if you don't keep focused, you're going to be giving up. You're going to be just throwing the towel. You don't want to hear nothing. You don't want no Bible, no Bible study. You don't want to pray. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to be around church. You don't want to be around church people. And stop making up those lame excuses about church folk. You got the problem. Because the church folk getting what they need. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. The church folk are getting what they need while you somewhere else complaining about church folk. Oh, my God. So, number one, keep your focus. Number two, you got to endure some things. You got to go through something. You got to go through something. There's some folk in the church, they've been through some stuff. They've been through some health issues, financial issues, marital issues, spiritual issues, just personality identification issues. The enemy will throw anything at you that he can to mess you up. When you say yes to the Lord, when you say it loud enough, not only does God hear it, but the enemy hears it. So you got to keep your focus, but you got to endure some things. You got to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross. That means that everything that came along the journey, he had endurance. You got to be able to go through some stuff, y'all. You got to toughen it up. It's deep while what we go through to keep our job and what we go through won't go through to keep Jesus. We go through anything to keep the job because you know your spouse will kill you if you get home and you got no job. So you go through anything with that. But when it comes to Jesus, we don't want to go through nothing. We just want everything to be easy. He said, but look here, you got to endure the cross. You got to press toward the mark. You got to go through everything that the cross represents, good and bad and indifferent. You got to be determined to finish. You have to have commitment. You got to deny yourself. You got to disown stuff. You got to just put stuff on the side. You got to be so determined. You got to have, you know, that faith. You got to have your faith fixed. Like he told Jeremiah, don't worry about it. Like Flint, you got. That's how we are about everything else. Let us find something we want to do. Or let us find somebody we want. You better not say nothing. You better not touch nothing. So don't tell me we can't get focused. But you got to endure. You got to go through. Because you know what's neat? You never go through all by yourself. Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's what we need to understand, and that's what we need to be able to grasp when you're going through stuff. It's amazing when the day is sunny, we don't need no Jesus. But we really do need him. But when the day get cloudy, where he at? Where you at, Lord? No, he's been there all the time, but we got this thing about when everything's going fine, we relax. All right, Lord, take a break. But when stuff get cloudy, come back in, Lord, please. But when you're trying to get to the joy, you got to go through your crosses. You got some stuff to bear. Some of the stuff we get to bear, we bring on ourselves. Oh, I'm just talking about myself. Get to be anxious about something. Get to be impatient. And we will go and do something that we should not have done. It's almost like, Lord, I got to go back to home plate and try to bat again. You was already on third base. You was almost home. But see, when we relax, when we let down our guard, when we lose our focus, when we don't want to endure anything, and how about when we tell God, God, I can't go through no more. God, I've had enough. God, if you put one more thing on me, God, I'm just going to break. I'm just going to fall. I'm just going to give it up. I'm just going to go just kill myself. See, you don't know the strength of God. That's the enemy messing with you. That's the enemy trying to put something in front of you to blind you from where you're trying to go. And I love it when I say, God, I can't do it. He said, good. Now you're learning. That's right. You cannot do it. I didn't ask you to do it. I asked you to let me do it through you. Everybody in this church, no matter what you do, God's doing it through you. You say God's doing it through you. Not all that. I'm sorry. God's doing it through you. That's all God was trying to say. He said, let me work through you because I want you to get to the joy. I want you to get to the joy. If you ever completed anything, there's some joy when you complete stuff. If you ever completed a project, completed school, completed something, there's some joy. And you might be tired. That's why we celebrate. That's why when we complete something, party! We will find any reason to have a party. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. We got that part right. That the angels rejoice, heaven rejoice. We know how to rejoice. But whatever we go through, we got to take a break. Got to party. But what you've been through, and folks don't understand what you're going through sometimes. And sometimes you can't articulate what you're going through. You just have to keep on moving towards it. Because God is saying, look, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Stop trying to explain to everybody else what you're going through and how depressed you feel and how sad you are. Get in your prayer closet and tell God, I may not understand it, but I know you'll never leave me and you'll never forsake me. God, because you're in it, I'm going to continue to go through this thing. That's what determination is. God, I can't see the whole picture. God said, good, I didn't show you the whole picture. I showed you what I needed you to see because I want to know how committed you were. Keep on moving towards me and find out what happened. We spend so much time complaining and trying to, oh, it's only me. Oh, my burden. You ain't carrying it. You look like you carried it because you're supposed to. Because God is working through us. You're supposed to look, your hair supposed to be messed up when you go through something. How you going to be in a warfare and a fight and come in, everything all pretty? Makeup all in place, hair all in place, clothes all in place. Come Oh, you've been through something. Look like you've been through something. But then God will strengthen you to get yourself together so that when you present yourself to the world, they will know that the enemy did not get the victory. Oh, my God. But you got to go through something. Nobody wants to go through anything. Oh, Lord. Oh, no. Ever since I accepted you, ever since I joined that church, oh, my God. I was doing better when I was in the world. No, you weren't. The enemy had you thinking you were doing better. There's a lot of people that govern the church and lead the church. I ain't coming to no Bible study. I got my life to live. What? Want me to do some work in the church? Because you got the wrong idea. Salvation is more than just escaping eternal damnation. Salvation is a way of life. And when you accept Christ, when you say yes to the Lord, you got to keep on pushing towards that thing. So you got to be focused. You got to endure some things. And then you got to ignore some things. And you got to ignore some people. Sorry. I know that's not nice. You can love everybody, but you can still ignore them. I'll tell you that one later. In the scripture, Hebrews 12:2, it says, despise and ashamed. Despise means ignoring or looking down on stuff. Jesus had done nothing wrong. But what they did to him, the names they called him, how they crucified him, and then the fact that he took on our sin, he had to despise that shame so that he could endure the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before him. How powerful is joy? Well, the joy that was set before Christ motivated him to keep on moving to the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He was rich for our sakes, became poor. He moved toward that cross. For the joy that was set before him. What does God have you doing? What's the journey that you're on? God, I don't see no good in what you got me on. I've been going through this thing a long time, God, and I don't see it. And God said, just hold on. Because I'm about to give you exactly what I promised you. Somebody needs to hear this. God, you about ready to give in. You're ready to put your resignation letter in. You are resigned from God in your heart. Now you want to resign from the church. But God said, don't do that. I'm already put the last brick in your house. I'm already put the amen on the journey that I got you. So you can't get wrapped up. You got to learn how to despise stuff and look down. You got to learn how to move stuff out the way. That's why I like people who are movers and shakers, you know. If you're going to come do some work in my house and you're going to remodel my house, don't come every day and just scrape a piece of one wall. Get in there. If you're going to inconvenience me. Get in there and do some work. Move the furniture. Bust some stuff up. You got to learn how to do that in your life sometimes. You got to move some furniture around. You got to move some folks around. You got to bust some stuff up because you're trying to get to the joy. You're trying to get somewhere. Folks trying to hold you up. Say, look here, don't call me. Don't text me. Don't Instagram me. And don't Facebook me. I'm on a journey and I got to. There's some calls you can't take no more. Those folks want to bring you down. Talking about, I remember when you did. I don't know what you're talking about. I left that. You got to learn how to move on this journey. You got to learn how to just, you know, drop some folk off. I love you, but baby, hey, I love you, but you got to go. Got to cut you loose. Because I'm like, I'm supposed to lay away every weight and sin. I got some dead weight on me. I got family trying to hold me down. I got cousins trying to hold. They trying to define me. They trying to make me be something they want me to be. But it's not what God called me to be. You got to ignore some things sometimes. Hey, look here. They're going to talk about you whether you do it or not. Let your family know. If you tell your family if you really love me, why are you putting the burden on me? You need to talk to folks. You got to be nasty with it. Just tell them, no. Say, look, if you really want me to be all God has called me to be, can you please get out of my way? Can I please move forward? How come every time I get ready to move forward, you want to hold me back if you love me so much? You got to let folk know God's in your life. And that people can see God in your life. Because when you come around on the holidays, oh, Lord. When you come around, they say, oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus, here she comes. Holier than thou. Put the liquor under the table. Why? And then you got the you always got the cousin with the sharp mouth. Why you gotta put it away? She used to drink with us. I'm still gonna smoke. I'll just go outside and roll my joint. Matter of fact, I'm gonna ask her if she got some paper. There's some folk like that. They like that. They like that. They so against you going somewhere. They see God doing something in your life. But guess what? They don't want Jesus. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to study the Word of God. They don't want to pray. But they want what you've got. And you're simply trying to show them Jesus is real. They want the shortcut. You done travel this thing out. You done work the journey. You getting closer to Jesus. You getting closer. And they want the shortcut. And they gonna come lay all up on you. And before you got blessed, they didn't look at you, didn't have time for you, didn't call you on your birthday. But all of a sudden, now you blessed. Is your cup running over? You have an overflow for me? My God. You got to run this day. You have to be determined. When you say yes to the Lord, let your yes be yes and your nay be nay. Don't have God looking for you. Say, wait a minute. I had 13 runners last Sunday. Now I got 12. No, keep on moving because you got to go through and despise the shame. Because folks going to talk about you no matter what. Folks still talking about me. I don't care. I'm just that stupid. I don't care. Talk all you want. I'm having fun in Jesus. Yes, I am. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Say what you want to say in a day of the week and don't bother the brother. You got to get to a point where no matter. I'm not saying being cold to folk, but some folk will just say stuff trying to tear you down because they don't want to see you happy. And they don't want to see you smile because they're not happy. And they don't have nothing to smile about. So they don't want you to be happy. They don't want to hear your testimony about how the Lord blessed you. Every Sunday, the Lord blessed. Oh, God. Folk get mad with you. God's still be trying to say, get on your journey and keep on pressing toward the mark. Don't give up. Stay in the race, no matter what it looks like. Because I found out that, guess what? You don't get the prize until you cross the finishing line. Did anybody look at the Olympics? Did you see anybody get the prize before they cross the finishing line? They don't put no scores up. They don't put, so you got to cross the line. I don't know where the line is on your journey. But I do know one thing, if you keep your focus, if you ignore some of the nonsense that's going on in your life, if you can endure some things, you'll be able to cross the line. And the thing about it is, if I'm running next to Reverend Terrence, I ain't got to worry about what kind of speed he's clocking, because I'm not competing against him. We're running a similar race, trying to get to the same joy. So I'm not against you, and I'm not against her. We're running. When you run by me, encourage me. I might be a little slower, but I'm going to get there. That's what the Christian race is. It's not for me trying to outdistance you and outrun you and looking back and talking about you. You got to cross the line to get the prize. That's why Paul said, I press toward the mark. You see what Paul went through? Paul's deep. I mean, Jesus is real deep, but Paul, all Paul went through, I said, Lord, have mercy. Man, and he's under house arrest. I'm like, can you bring me my parchment? Can you bring me my Bible so I can have a Bible? You put me on house arrest, I'm going to say, when do I'm going out? I'm getting the heck out of here. I'm escaping. I'm like, getting out of here. Paul said, can you bring me my parchments? Come on. I want to witness to these soldiers all up in here. All right. That's when you say yes to the Lord, when you're committed. That's why Jesus said, will you two go away in John 6? See, when the whole church left Jesus, he said, told the disciples, y'all rolling? Because I'm going to have church. Because it only takes two or three to have church. If I'm the son, I got my daddy and the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, hello. Before I get started on my sermon, say, Jesus, are y'all leaving too? Oh, my God. But see, guess what? There's some of us in the body of Christ, it seems like nothing is working for you. You know why nothing's working for? Because we ain't working for nobody. Our yes, it wasn't really a yes. We're not committed. We're still on the outskirts of Christianity. We're not really ready to come in. We got all this other stuff that we need to do. We're just playing with the Lord. We got people fooled in the church. If that's all you want out of Christianity, out of your relationship, God bless you. You are messing yourself up. God has so much for each and every one of us. But you got to cross the line to get the prize. Whatever it takes, you must finish. People can pray with you and pray for you, but they cannot run your race for you. This is your race. This is your calling. Don't get upset if folks don't understand your calling. This is your calling. This is what God has given you. And so many times, has anybody ever said, God, why me? Anybody ever say, God, why not me? Anybody here ever tell God, stop blessing me? Lord, you're blessing me too much. Lord, please, 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 Lord, please, please. Please, God, can you hold up on it, please? I ain't got no more room. But God will never leave us. He will keep our minds in perfect peace. Keep those in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on Him. I'm not saying that the race is easy. But sometimes, in order to complete it, you got to get to the cross beyond the cross. For the joy that was set before, God has set joy before each and every one of us. And He's simply saying, you got to keep on moving until you cross that line. And sometimes it's so hard to cross the line that you might have to be like Jesus. You might have to find your garden of Gethsemane. You might have to say, Lord, it's rough down here. And God don't mind you talking to Him like that. It's a bitter cup, Lord. Is there any other way? Don't be ashamed. Anybody like me say, Lord, is there any other way? Can we circumvent this thing? Do you have a detour sign that you could put up on my journey? Do you have something? If there's any other way, God. And by the time you begin to talk with God, something's going to happen in your life. You say, Lord, I feel my help. I feel my strength. See, God doesn't mind you and I taking a break on the journey, catching our breath. He doesn't want us to stop on the journey. And many of us, we just stop. Not here in the church, but in the body of Christ. We just stop on the journey. And we never really get to the fullness of what Jesus is trying to do for us. Well, Pastor, why do we stop? We let folk get in our way. We let ourselves get in the way. We let people get in the way. We let material get in the way. We let jobs get in the way. We let so much other stuff get in the way. And God said, won't you let me purge you from some things? So you can keep on running that race. The message says about Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way. All these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down. Start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how He did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. The exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. The cross, the shame, or whatever, because of the joy that was set before him. Today I want to challenge you, congregation, to find your joy. Find the joy that Jesus set before you. And then be like Christ. Look unto him as the author and finisher of your faith. And you let your yes be yes and your nay be nay. Run this journey. Run this journey. Say, Lord, give me the strength to run this journey and cross the finishing line. Because that's what Jesus had to do. He had to cross the finishing line. They thought they had him. Even after you crossed the finishing line, they still thought they had him. They put him in the bar too. They still thought they had him. But the joy that was set before him, where was the joy? Hey, once they took him down off the cross, somebody should have come running to him with some joy. No, it wasn't yet. He still had to go through something. I caution you, once you cross the finishing line, you may not get your joy yet. There's got to be something else that God may want to do with your life once you cross the line to let the enemy know what has happened. Jesus was buried in a bar tomb. I said, that's deep. He did all that for the joy that was set before him, and he still had to go through something. Wow. That's deep. Everybody that crossed the finishing line in the Olympics, the 1, 2, and 3, the gold, silver, bronze, they still had to go do some more training. But they put the Jesus, see, they put him in a bar too. Like you hadn't gone through it enough. You've been beat. You've been spit on. They whipped you. But that wasn't enough. They put him in a bar too. He was there all Friday and all Friday night. He was there all day Saturday and all Saturday night. But the joy wasn't yet. But early, somebody said, when the dew is still on the roses. Somebody said, when the birds start singing. When the day sun begins to creep through the blinds in your bedroom. Somebody said, early Easter Sunday morning. It's when he got up with all power in his hands and said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy... That's the joy. God is saying to you today, cross the line and go through what you need to go through because your joy is coming. That means that once you cross the line, they can't block you. I saw this movie and all the man had to do was to get to the embassy. He had to get to the American embassy. Then he was safe. My God. All God is saying, just get to where I need you to be. And everything is going to be all right. Oh, I wish I had somebody on the journey with me that don't mind running the race for Jesus. But all you got to do is like the man in the movie, get to the embassy. And I tell you, they went through. What was that movie, Taken? What's the other one, the next one? Yeah, the second, Taken 2. And they took 2, but, they tore that embassy up. But they got in there. Sometimes you go. I got anybody trying to get to the embassy? Anybody working for the Lord? Anybody running on a journey? Anybody trying to finish a race? Anybody trying to complete it? Anybody trying to get their joy? Let us all stand. They was driving crazy. His daughter was driving all crazy. Get to the embassy. Said, once we get there, we're going to be all right. Sometimes you got to drive crazy to get through this thing. Sometimes folk going to think you crazy. They stand on the side looking at you, and they looking at you thinking, you got something to do. You got somewhere to go. You got somewhere to be. You got a God to serve and a God to glorify. Don't be mad with God about your journey. Get through it. He's the one that's going to keep us, and he's going to bless us. If there's anybody here today who got off the journey,